Thank you. This morning, if you have your Bibles, I would invite you to turn with me in them to Revelation, looking at chapter 2, verse 10. And I'm going to add James 1:12 as well. Revelation 2:10 and James 1:12. Looking at these, we're talking about the crown of life. You know, there's a lot of discussion whether we ought to be doing things for rewards or not, whether Christians ought to do things to get rewards. Well, understand that in our culture today, as we think about it, that's an important part of who we are, gaining rewards. And the Bible's full of instructions and full of thoughts about gaining rewards because of our faithfulness to the Lord Jesus and our faithfulness to God. You see it over and over again. So as we think about it, we have to come to understand we're not doing the things that we do to get rewards. No. We're doing things that we do as a result of our love and commitment to the Lord Jesus. And as a result of that, we will be able to gain rewards. We're looking at the crown of life today, the crown of life. John said, "Don't be afraid of what you are about to suffer. Look, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison and test you, and you will experience affliction for 10 days. Be faithful to the point of death, and I will give you the crown of life." Jesus talking to the churches in Revelation. James joined John's description in James 1:12. "Blessed is the one who endures trials, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him." Father, we thank you today that we can come into your presence and hear you speak to us. We thank you for the Bible that recorded your words, recorded your direction, that gave us instructions that teach us, even today, the things the Lord Jesus said. The prophets of old, Father, for the disciples, for the apostles, recording for us information that still guides our lives today. Help us get a view and understanding of the crown of life and what it means to us as we live today with the problems that we face. In Christ's name I pray, amen. You know, as you look at this passage of Scripture, we're continuing in that series about judgment and rewards in eternity. There is a judgment coming, and there are rewards that are going to be given to those that have faithfully served the Lord. Now, we began this series with the Great White Throne Judgment. This is where all whose names are not written in the Book of Life, those who have not accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, are called before his judgment seat. Now, those that are alive at the end of all time, those that are alive and have gone through the Great Tribulation, those whose bodies are in the grave and their spirits in hell will stand before the great white throne, and they will be judged because of their lives and what they did or did not do. Now, the books of the records of their life will be open. The book of life will also be open. Upon their judgment, death and hell will be cast into the lake of fire, and all of those who are not recorded in the book of life will also be cast into the lake of fire. Now, understand, before the great tribulation, Jesus is going to return and gather all who have accepted his forgiveness and eternal life through the personal relationship with him. He will gather us to the throne and provide eternal rewards. That reward, that time of judgment, is going to happen before the tribulation and before hell and death is cast into the lake of fire. The great white throne is the last judgment that will take place. It will be the end of everything. The new heaven and new earth will come into existence then. Now, you remember the crown. So far, we've talked about the victor's crown, the believers who have practiced discipleship and sacrifice will be given this crown as they have worked hard, just like athletes that have trained and developed and matured and provided their body what was necessary to run the race with a chance to win the race. Those that are receiving the victor's crown are those that have lived in obedience to the Lord. Then there's the crown of rejoicing, sometimes called the soul winner's crown. If you've been a part in winning someone to faith in Christ and discipling them, helping them grow, mature, and become disciples that make disciples of others, that crown will be given to you, the crown of rejoicing. Then there's the crown of righteousness. That's the crown that are given to those that have loved and longed for the appearing of the Lord. They kept their eyes on the horizon. They were always watching, always paying attention, waiting for the Lord to come. It was like when Mom and Daddy were gone from home and we were there by ourselves. You know, we kept an eye out because if they came in the driveway, there were certain things we didn't want them to catch us doing, you know. And so that's that individual. Not so much we fear that we're going to be caught doing something wrong, but we're looking forward, we're anticipating, we're exciting about the Lord coming. And that will be the crown of righteousness. Those that have served obediently, those will be awarded the crown. Today we're looking at the crown of life. The crown is given to the believer that endures the trials, the sufferings, the honor of knowing and serving our Lord during our sufferings will be given the crown of life. Next week, we'll talk about the crown of glory. It's often called the preacher's crown. We'll explain that more next week, but it's not just for preachers. I have to tell preachers that all the time. It's not just for them. It's for the faithful shepherds of Sunday school classes, small groups, of Bible studies, of fellowship groups, all of those that have faithfully cared for others and helped them grow and mature will receive the crown of glory. Look with me at the crown of life today. The crown of life is the reward for faithfulness. There is value to enduring. We know that repetition is valuable. We keep repeating the exercise and we grow stronger and we will be able to endure longer, run farther, and complete the course in such a manner that we not only finish the race, but we're going to gain the crown of life. You know that I've read about people that are, especially women that are good at shooting 3-point shots on the basketball court. They will shoot 1,000 shots a day in practice. I can't even imagine shooting 5, much more, or 100, but 1,000 of them every day to hone their skills, to develop their skills. We see them on TV often, a lot of times, because of that willingness to work, to endure. Life often feels like a marathon. It's a lot more a marathon than it is a sprint. The athletes of the first century competed for crowns that were made of laurel leaves. And those crowns would soon fade and wither and just be cast aside. But James and John remind us that the believers are running a race with eternal stakes. When we get to heaven, the rewards there are going to mean a lot more than anything you can win in this world or you can achieve in this world. In fact, we're promised a life full of trials. Life is filled with trials. Difficulty tests our faith. It tests our endurance. It tests our commitment to Christ. One of Murphy's laws that I subscribe to, and I learned it dealing with fire department and disaster relief events, that what can go wrong will go wrong. And I mean, we develop plans. Our plans look for anything that could go wrong, and we would say, this is what we will do if it goes wrong. Often my trips to the disaster was filled with time focused on what has happened, what can happen, and how do we respond to that? What's going on? Whether you're in emergency management, the police, the fire department, EMS, disaster relief, soldiers, business, or anything else, you have to be prepared for anything that comes along. As a believer, as a follower of Jesus Christ, I have to understand that Satan and the hordes of hell are going to do everything to cause pain and sorrow in the believer's life. They're out to get you, friends. You've got to pay attention. From time of creation till today, Satan's goal has to prevent people from knowing, following, trusting, and loving God. So Satan uses trials to tempt every person. He believes that if he can make it hard enough on us, if he can cause enough pain, enough problems, people are going to abandon, turn away, and reject Jesus. Friends, it's happening all around us today. That's what's going on. But you need to understand, God never wastes our pain. He never wastes our pain. Eternal rewards are promised to those that persevere. If you stay at it, God's going to recognize it. He's going to understand it. The Christian life is not about starting well, but it's about finishing well. Many begin the race of faith with zeal, with great desire to grow and to understand. But over a period of time, weariness begins to set in. They become distracted. They become discouraged. And they fall by the wayside. That's how it happens, folks. Without even planning, without ever doing it, you see it in the athletic world. If they don't stay at it, when the day comes, when the game comes, when the trials come, you're going to miss out. You're not going to be able to accomplish it, to do it. But there, God has promised to reward those who endure. And that reward is called the crown of life. Back in the olden days, there was a saying in high school athletics. I learned it was other places after I got out of high school. And that saying was, no pain, no gain. Now, when my therapist was working on my shoulder, she said, now, when it gets to be painful, don't do that. Stop. Because that keeps it bad, you know. You go to the point of pain and you keep working it so sooner or later you can get it back. But there is, if we're going to be able to play the home game, the whole game and be at top performance, if we're going to endure, we've got to keep at it no matter what the opponent throws at us. Now, I was 155 pounds when I graduated from high school. Can you imagine? 155 pounds. And those big fullbacks, those big tackles, I had to deal with them every game. And those rascals love hitting this little guy standing on the end down there. But I got them back. Because you see, I also was the trapping guard. So when they weren't looking, oh boy, did I work on their knees and ankles. Satan's like that. When we're not looking, he's going to work on us. When we're not being faithful, when we're not being obedient, he's going to work on us. We have to endure no matter what the opponent throws at us. That meant that we would have to follow the exercise regimen. We would have to work hard to grow stronger, to build our endurance during practice. So during the game, we could be there and be faithful. For the believers following Christ, we are promised we will, if we will endure, if we persevere, if we stay at it, we will be rewarded the crown of life. Endurance will require a daily workout. That means we have to keep at it. We cannot grow slack. We can't just slack off. Because when we do slack off, we go weaker every day. Very soon, we will not be able to do what we have to do to keep up or to keep at it. We just give up, and then Satan wins, and we lose the eternal reward. The crown of life is for the faithful. The crown is not reserved for the strongest, the fastest, the smartest, the most talented, the richest. It's reserved for the faithful ones, men and women who cling to Christ through trials and temptations and sufferings, and they never give up. They press on. Until Jesus fulfills our lives and gives us the promise of eternity with him. Now, what's the context of the crown of life? Blessed is the one that endures trials, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. Blessings are in endurance. If we endure, that means if we remain under pressure, faithful, and if we do not give up, we're going to be blessed. Trials test the reality of our faith. They reveal whether we have a faith that is shallow, a faith that is insignificant, or a faith that is deep, a faith that is genuine, a faith that is not counterfeit. It's not a show. It's something that we depend on him. 1 Peter said in 1 Peter 1:6, "You rejoice in this, even though now for a short time it's necessary for you to suffer grief in various trials, so that the proven character of your faith, more valuable than gold, which though perishable is refined by fire, may result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ." Endurance is not some kind of stoic faithfulness. It's not just a toughness. Ah, I'm going to be there. I'm going to stay there. No, it's a steadfast trust in God. I don't care what comes, I can depend on God. I can trust God. He is going to be there even when I'm hurting, in pain, and when in conflict. Think about gold refined by fire. Fire doesn't destroy the gold, but it burns the impurities out of it. It purifies it. It makes it pure. It makes it stronger. It makes it more valuable. In the same way, God uses trials to prove our faith, to improve our faith, to strengthen our faith, and make us more like Jesus every day. That's important to do. The motivation is love. Jesus added, "God promised this crown to those who love him." The love of Christ is the fuel of endurance. Why do you put up with the stuff you put up with in families? It's because of love. That's the way it has to be, love. Now, I know there comes a time when we draw the line and say, that's it. God does that. He'll draw the line and say, that's it. But you know, even as he goes after the sheep, that one that keeps wandering, it said that shepherds would find that wandering sheep that just kept going and kept going. And when they found him, they would actually break the sheep's leg and carry it from then on till it healed, so that when the sheep was healed, it would stay there, rather than go wandering off again. You can wander off if you want to, but God's going to punish you. After enough times, he's going to punish you. The love of Christ fuels endurance. We're to persevere. If you don't persevere, if you don't keep fighting, if it's out of fear, or punishment, or pride, or achievement, whatever. No, if we endure, we love the one that first loved us. John 1:4-19. When love grows cold, endurance falters. That's when we give up, when love grows cold. But when our love burns bright, we can bear even the heaviest burdens. We can go the second mile. We can do more than what is expected. When a mother's love will do to protect our child in that danger, you watch it. Let me tell you, you don't want to confront a mama bear. Because if you do, you're going to get mauled. It's not going to be pretty. If you love, you're going to defend. You're going to protect. You're going to provide. If you fight the mama bear, you get torn limb from limb. And that's what he's talking about. The love is such a deep commitment, we will do anything to protect the relationships that we have. Our love for Jesus makes us willing to endure anything that life provides for us. And it's going to prove our love for him and our faithfulness to him. There's a call to faithfulness in Revelation 2:10. Don't be afraid of what you're about to suffer. Look, the devil is about to throw some of you in prison and test you, and you're going to experience afflictions for 10 days. Be faithful to the point of death, and I will give you the crown of life. The reality of suffering is present in our world. Jesus tells the church in Smyrna, don't be afraid. It's coming. You're going to be tested. You're going to be tried. You're going to be thrown in jail. But it's going to be short-lived, 10 days, you know, the right amount of time, and then Jesus is going to take care of it. Following Christ brings testing. It may come through persecution, temptation, discouragement. Even in America, where persecution is less severe, we still face ridicule. We still face rejection. We still face opposition. We still face bullying and name-calling. You remember what it was like on the school grounds when you were there and you'd get bullied, someone testing you. But also in the classroom, there was that same attitude of testing. I had teachers that would give you a pop test every week. They were checking you to see if you were on target, if you were maintaining the assignments. It was a strategy to make sure you were preparing for the exams, that you understood what was going on and what you needed to learn, and you were learning it so that when the time of exams come and they test you, you can prove your knowledge, your ability to pass the subject. But suffering is limited. 10 days, he said to the church. Don't miss the promise. Suffering will be intense, but it's temporary. God sets boundaries to our trials. He is sovereign over Satan's attack. God allows Satan to test Job, but he limited him. Only could go so far. Only could do so much. God limited so Satan could do and how long he could do it. God will limit what can and happen to us as well. He allows testing to prove our love, our faith, our trust, our commitment to the Lord Jesus. That command, be faithful unto death, is so important. Faithfulness isn't about convenience. It means loyalty to Christ no matter what the cost. Oh, the believers in Smyrna, they literally meant they were willing to die for their faith. That means that they endured persecution, the mocking, the looks, the attitudes, the gossip, the remain faithful to our Lord even when those things are happening to us. And we will die faithful to Him. History records Polycarp, the pastor in Smyrna in the second century. He was executed for his faith. When asked to deny Christ, he replied, 86 years I've served him. He has done me no wrong. How can I blaspheme my King and Savior? And Polycarp received the crown of life when he got to heaven. The crown of life is what? It's not a literal crown, but it's eternal life. The crown of life is not a literal golden crown with jewel studs and all kind of bedazzlement on it, but it's the faithfulness that produces eternal life. It's the fullness of that eternal life. It's not an item fashioned out of vines and flowers. It's not something made of gold and jewels. It is the fullness of the presence of Jesus. Oh, many times I'd come home and I just could not wait to get to Jean and the children, to sit down at the table and eat, to talk, to watch, to listen, to be involved. Now, most of the time, it was 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning when I'd get home, so they weren't up. But the next morning, as they busied themselves going, it was enjoying to see and hear and experience their relationship again. You see, eternal life is the believer's reward. It's that eternity with Christ. The victory of the prize of those that persevere is salvation is free. The crown of life is the reward of proven faith. Jesus said in John 10:28, I give them eternal life and they will never perish. The crown of life is the final proof that that promise is real. It began with Jesus All of eternity is going to be with him, being with Jesus. There is no greater reward out there. Victory and validation. Paul's day, atheists received the wreaths as symbols of victory. Those wreaths died, fade, rotted, and the crowns of life, and the crown of life is imperishable. You know, our health deteriorates. We're seeing it. We're living it, really, right now. We have accidents. We fall. We remember less than we used to remember. All these things are pointing to the reality that we're going to die. Unless Jesus comes, we're going to die. We talked about it this morning with some of the men. You know, what's happening to us reminds us it's coming. It's coming. We need to be ready. But praise God, Jesus is alive and well. And he's promised us eternal life if we confess him as Lord and we believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead and raised him from the tomb, and he's alive forevermore. It's also called vindication, God's public declaration that one day will be over us. The one that was faithful, the one that loved me, the one that belonged to me forever, come into my presence and be at my throne. We often express it, welcome home, come, well done, faithful servant. Friends, I promise you, I will praise God and the Savior for all of eternity once we get there. How do you pursue the crown of life? James says you endure with hope. Because when he stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. James said in 1:12. Keep your eyes on the finish line. You know, they taught us when we were running track, don't look back, look ahead. Don't worry about what's behind you. Keep your eyes focused on the goal. Keep your eyes focused on the finish line. Keep your eyes focused on where you're going so that you can get there. Hebrews 12:1 says, therefore, since we also have such a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every hindrance and sin that so easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance the race that lies before us, keeping our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy that laid before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right-hand throne of God. Trials are temporary, but the crown is eternal. When you feel like quitting, remember what's waiting for you at the end. Remain faithful in suffering. That's what Jesus said to the church. Don't fear suffering. Fear faithlessness. Fear not being obedient. Fear of giving up. Fear turning aside. Daily faithfulness in small things, prayers, Bible study, obedience, resisting temptation, worship. These prepare us for faithfulness in the big trials, when the big problems come. You see, we love Jesus above all. The crown is promised to those who love him, who trust him. Ask yourself daily, do I love Jesus more than I love my comfort? Do I love Jesus more than I love people's approval? Do I love Jesus more than life itself? Am I willing to die? He said, if you're going to follow me, take up your cross daily and follow me. Deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me. That means deny the problems. Live with the problems. Grin and bear it is what we used to say. We used to say, rub dirt on it and keep going, you know. Now we rub faith on it. I can trust God. I don't care what happens here. I don't care what the devil's doing. I can trust God. I can depend on God. Or one day I'll stand in his presence. Now, the crown of life is not a myth. It's not something that's been dreamed up by religious people to encourage us to keep going. No, it's a lot more than that. The crown of life is not for the faint-hearted. If you give up easy, it's not going to be yours. You're not going to earn it. You're not going to gain it. You have to be faithful. Faithful all the way to the end. Now, some people wear temporary crowns today. It can be wealth. It can be fame. It can be success. It can be position. It can be popularity. It can be any of those things we think is important. But those crowns fade. They're going to fade away. They can be stolen very quickly. Moth and rust can destroy them. Thieves can break in and steal them. You see, the crown of life, though, endures forever. Are you enduring trials today? Is life hard for you right now? Is health problems, family problems, financial problems just keep coming? Are they just rolling over you, it seems like? Are you tired? Are you discouraged? Are you overwhelmed? Are you ready to give up? Remember, the crown of life is out there. He says, stand firm in your faith. God is faithful. Jesus is Lord. The Holy Spirit is still working to help prepare us for heaven. To stand firm, Jesus is coming soon, and we will receive, we will be ushered into his presence and experience him for all of eternity. You know how? You know how to serve Jesus? First of all, you have to admit that you've sinned. You've done things that are wrong. You have to admit it. Yes, Lord, I did those things. Then you can believe that God raised him from the dead. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by him. And then you can confess him as Lord. You confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead. And Jesus promised us through Paul, you will be saved. It's going to be very important. And then you dedicate yourself to discipleship. That is, you diligently present yourself to God, a workman that is approved, who's not ashamed, and he can teach and share the word of truth with others. Folks, I promise you, life's still going to be hard. We're still going to face problems and difficulties. But your faithfulness will build stamina, and your stamina will be faithful, will gain a reward. And that reward is the crown of life. It's going to be tough. Years ago, I heard the story of a missionary couple that retired in Africa after 40 years of hard service in Africa. And they retired and they made their way to the ship. And as they boarded the ship, there was all kind of fanfare, all kind of stuff, bands and people and a celebration. And they just slipped on and got into the ship. And over the next weeks, as they traveled from Africa back to New York, they discovered that Teddy Roosevelt was on the ship with them. Teddy Roosevelt had just finished a wild game hunt in Africa, and he was on his way home. And the missionary, the man, he kind of grew frustrated. You know, he said, we've served the Lord all this, and nobody understands it. And then when they docked in New York, there was all kinds of fanfare. The governor, the mayor, the head of the council, the newspapers, politicians from Washington, D.C., from all over the country were there to meet the great president coming home. The bands played. There was a big ceremony, and they just kind of slipped around it and went on. Got to the apartment that had been reserved for them in the lower part of New York City. And it just began to eat away at the missionary more and more. 40 years in Africa, he goes to hunt big game, and the whole world welcomes him home. And it just really began to gnaw at him. Finally, his wife said, what is bugging you? And he said, we served 40 years, And nobody was here to welcome us home. The president, short time big game hunting, and the whole world knows he's come home. And it just ate away at him for days. And finally she said, you know, honey, you need to go into the bedroom and you talk to the Lord to deal with this. So he got up, mumbled as he went into the bedroom. He was in there for a while and he came back out, and she tells the story, his face was quite different. What went on in there? She asked him after a while. He said, oh, well, I told the Lord everything. I just laid it all out for him, what I felt, what I thought, what it was like, how I was experiencing all this. And after a while, it was seemed like he put his hand on my shoulder and leaned down to me and said, Henry, you're not home yet. I don't care what happens in this life. We're not home. One day we'll stand before the throne of God, and there will be crowns of life given to those that have been faithful and obedient servants of the Lord Jesus. What will it be like for you? What are you going to get? What has your life proved worthy to earn the crown? Folks, you can't do it every now and then. To get the crown of faithfulness, it's got to be daily, every day, multiple times a day. Study of God's word, prayer, worship, service to others. If you're going to gain a crown in heaven, what crown will you get? I hope it will be the crown of life. Oh, if you're saved, you're going to get there. That's reality. But it doesn't mean you'll get the crown of life if you're not faithful every day. Father, we pray now that you would help us understand how we live our life every day. Help us examine ourselves. Help us understand how we're living, how we're serving, how we're worshiping, how we're praying, how we're studying your word. May we do it daily and look forward to the crown of life. Move in our midst. Let us make decisions pleasing to you, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. If God is